Hello and welcome to episode number 20 of Inglourious Artists with me, Peter Holland. This is the final episode of the season, and what you're hearing in the background is a song by my guest this time, Tania Naranjo, who is a Chilean-Swedish composer, singer, and piano player, who came to Sweden from Chile when she was 17 years old and has been playing music and composing music for almost her whole life. When she's not doing solo stuff, she is a part of the duo Naranjo Verlander. And we're going to be talking about past, present, and future regarding her life and work, including the time she sang for the Chilean president. This is my conversation with Tania Naranjo. This is a really unusual situation because usually I know the guests a little bit, at least, or even a lot, because some of the guests have been my friends and stuff. But I almost know nothing about you except that you're a pianist, you're like a concert pianist, and you're from Chile, and you do like some kind of jazz folk music kind of thing.
Yes.
But yeah, and that's probably mostly good because then we can explore together.
Yeah.
So you're from Chile.
Yes, I am from Santiago.
Yeah, and now we're in Sweden. So how did that happen?
It's a long story because I grew up in Santiago during the years of dictatorship of Pinochet. And I was very young when I start to listen a lot of music, folk music and classical music. I study classical piano at the conservatory for many years. And my parents and me, myself, were political activists.
Okay.
So after many years, we couldn't continue to live in Chile.
No, it was dangerous for you to live in Chile.
Too dangerous for us. So it's because I am in Sweden.
How old were you when you got here?
I was 17 years old.
Right on the cusp of becoming an adult and everything.
Yes.
It must be a very, very like tumultuous time for you.
It was a very amazing time and difficult time at the same time. Because I was a young girl with a lot of dreams, and I was very sure that I wanted to be a pianist. But suddenly, my life became in two parts. And the first time of my life was stayed in Chile. I came to Sweden. I didn't know how to study piano and continue with my music.
No. I was thinking that,
So it was very difficult period when I came to Sweden. And my life in Chile was turbulent with a lot of music and demonstrations at the same time. You never knew what's going to happen at the road home or to the piano lesson because maybe you went a little and it was a demonstration and you were in the middle of this. And at the same time I was very active and demonstrate with my
So sometimes you were
students.
In the demonstration yourself.
Yes, of course, at this time. And music was very central for me.
Grounded you, like some safe center for you.
Yeah, it was. It became the possibility to express myself fully.
Yeah, fully. Yeah.
Yes, fully. And when I came to Sweden, of course, I wanted to continue with that because I was already very good.
Yes. Well, so, how old were you when you started in Chile to play piano?
Yeah, maybe 6-7 years old.
Okay.
I studied at the conservatory and I learned every year. It was a very strong school because it was classical school at the conservatory, and I learned
very strict.
Yes, very strict. And I play the music of Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, Grieg. Oh.
Rachmaninoff?
Yes.
the most difficult one of all.
So I was prepared to continue my studies here.
Mm.
But in South America and Chile, it was very difficult for me to know if my knowledge was enough for coming and continue my studies here.
Okay. Because you only knew what you were doing there.
I came to Sweden, and when you are an immigrant or refugee, the state of Sweden don't know how to receive people who has specialties. For example, special skills that I talk with people. I am a concert pianist.
Mm.
Okay, I want to study. Yeah, but first you have to learn Swedish, and you have to learn English, and you have to do a lot of things
Really? Is that true? Because I think music is a language in its own right. So do you really need to know that much of spoken languages to...
No, you don't need.
No, really.
But it was the information I received.
Okay.
So it was... And I was young, so I have never been outside Chile.
Mm.
So I didn't know. If they tell me that it's very difficult, maybe it is very difficult
to
do that.
No reason to doubt them.
But the music in me was so strong, so I play. Mm. I start to play from the first day almost. because I had I learned Swedish with a Swedish teacher, of course, and she asked the class, "Is some person who can play the guitar?"
Mm-hmm.
And I can play the guitar, but I didn't talk. I just I can, I can.
Just pointed to yourself.
Yes, and she gave me the guitar, and I start to sing a song.
Mm.
I could just maybe 3 or 4 songs with the guitar because I was a pianist.
Mm.
But I could, so I sang. When she talked with me and understood that I was a classical pianist, she opened the piano.
Oh, they had a piano there.
Yes, they had a piano. Mm. So I start to give concerts almost every day for my classmates.
Good. Okay, you can keep practicing.
It was a very fast start.
Yeah.
And she was very kind because she organized a big concert with me at this school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very funny because I get in at the stage and don't talk. I was very shy too. I went to the stage and just bowed and play and sang. Mm-hmm. And after... I left the stage.
Are you that kind of a shy performer that you're not shy when you're performing?
Yes.
But just between and off stage, it's very common.
Yes.
I mean, I hear that all the time. But you're kind of introverted. How can you be an actor and whatever? You know. Well, that's because when I'm on a stage, I can take command and show people. Show myself from the side that I want to show. I have control. And, it's a big difference.
Yes.
Then the social anxiety can be there anyway. Mm. It's a whole other world. Do you feel the same way?
Yes, I feel that it's very different. And I remember how shy I was as a little girl when I start to sing and play.
Mm.
But as I told you, the music inside me was so strong that I couldn't say no to that. I have to sing, I have to play, I have to communicate through music.
Mm, mm.
So I am very happy that so early I knew what I wanted to do in my life.
Mm.
Mm.
Right. And did you... then study piano or music in any way here in Sweden afterwards?
Yes, it was a little difficult beginning, but when I think about it now, it was a very fast beginning.
Yeah.
Because I was already a pianist.
Yes.
So I didn't have to learn so much.
No, probably more skilled than most people who start studying anyway. You know.
Yeah, and I could a lot of scores and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was not a problem for me.
No,
the problem was to, for example, in a test to study at the high school here in the College of Music.
Yeah.
In Malmö, all the questions were in Swedish. And
yeah,
answer in Swedish, it was the difficult part. Because I knew the answer. Because it was easy for me, the musical questions.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But I couldn't write the right answer.
No, because you didn't understand the question,
no.
Really.
So this was the difficult part. But I could play, so... Mm. I continue my studies here at the University of Lund. I became a concert pianist.
At the same time that you became proficient in Swedish, I guess. So you learned both parallel.
And you talk about that I do a lot of things, like compose music, Latin jazz. And I have been thinking a lot about why. And I think that my story in Chile was very important because at the same time that I study the classical music and the piano composers, it was a very difficult time in Chile, and a lot of music students used to sing a lot of protest songs.
Yeah, of course.
So inside the classroom, I played the classical piano. Outside, I sang all the time the folk music of Chile.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was political.
You took a stand by those lyrics and with those songs.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. And we have similar things in most countries around the world, especially from people on the left side of the political spectrum.
Yes.
And the underdogs, kind of.
Yes.
But have you felt... I mean, that it sounds like it's very natural to play that kind of music.
Yes.
But have you felt any pressure in Sweden to do music that has a South American connection because you are from there? So people can see you from like an exotic perspective and be like, oh, of course, because you're a Chilean, please just come in here and play your folk music. And but if you were to play, let's say... ordinary rock and roll, then maybe it would be a bit. You would be lost in the in the masses of all the other acts.
Yeah, I understand, but I think it's my decision to do that because I have all my life. I like this music. I like the folk music of Chile. I feel it inside, and it's a part of my. Expression and all my musical life and all my professional musical life I have done the same. When I studied for being a classical concert pianist, at the same time I had groups with folk music and crossover. So for me has been a very natural thing to do, to mix. It's because I now I am a very crossover artist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I can do a lot of things very well, and it's not so common to do that. But I can.
Yeah.
I want.
Yeah, and you of course mix it.
Yes.
Then. Yeah. Did the singing come at the same time as the piano, or did you start singing after you started playing the piano? Was the singing like later in your teens, or
no? For me, the singing was. Since I was born, because my mother told me that I sang all the time, and I always had a very beautiful voice. So,
well, were your parents musical?
And yeah, not musicians, but they were musical.
Musical, yeah,
and they are. My mother sang all the time for me, and she sang a lot of folk songs and in English and Spanish. my father studied classical guitar, and both sang in choirs.
In choirs, yeah.
In choirs, professional choirs.
Okay.
In university choirs.
I see.
Very big Requiem of Mozart, for example. It was difficult music.
Mm.
And they like a lot of different kinds of music. So I listen to rock and ABBA and...
they had all the albums.
Everything. And Victor Jara, Violeta Parra, and Mozart and Bach.
That is a mix.
Yes, a little jazz and everything.
Right. Okay, so you had some knowledge and connection to Sweden already since they had an ABBA album or two or something like that.
Yes. I like ABBA very much, but... I didn't know they were from Sweden.
No, why would you really?
Because at this time I thought everybody was were from USA or England.
Yeah. If they're white and blonde and sing in English, why would they be from anywhere else? Since you've come here, it seems to have been going very, very well. If I go through like your website and everything, it's just list after list of awards and recognitions and scholarships and things like that. So
yes.
I guess do you make a living
yes.
fully from your music?
Yes.
And you know how rare is that? It's so rare. How many can be that fortunate? You know. And I think it feels like it's going to be a theme for this episode. Is like how are you doing all this?
Yeah, it's my mix of being good and know what you are doing, and I want to be better all the time.
You have a drive,
and I have so many ideas, and I compose my own music, and want to do. I have a dream, a lot of dreams, so I work for it, and I think that is working very well.
Did you manage that early on? Have you made a living doing your music career for a long time?
Yes, very long time.
Wow.
Yes. I have always have a job and worked with a lot of things, theater musician and make music for short films and work with dancers and... different kind of collaborations, freelance or institutions, like a solist, big works, difficult works, or big variation of kinds of works.
Yeah, and as you say, a lot of that is, of course, your skill, and then a dash of luck on top of it. Luck favors the prepared, as they say. And so you play... do you play with like symphony orchestras?
Yes.
Maybe not them backing you, but I mean, do you play classical pieces and stuff like that?
I do my own music with symphony orchestras.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I am very happy.
You
to
should
do
be.
That because it's not so easy to to do a big work with orchestra and more difficult to do your own music with orchestra. And I have a very beautiful collaboration with an accordionist from Finland.
Yeah, and we have a duo. The duo, yeah.
Yes, and we have a lot of plans for 2019. We are going to do a lot of works with Sinfonio Orchestra.
Oh, wow.
Our music.
Yeah. Duo so, Naranjo Verlanda. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, that name.
Yes.
You're not making it easy on anybody.
No.
And you were, let's see, nominated for Artist of the Year from World Music Gala?
Yes, we were.
By World Music Gala?
Yes.
So there's another honor.
Yeah.
I listened to some of your stuff as well. It's really interesting. Is that that's mostly instrumental?
Yes. The duo is only instrumental.
Some like scat singing. I think I heard something. Some vocalizations from you.
Yes, once.
Once, okay.
Yes.
I managed to find the one.
Yes.
How would you describe that? Because it seems to me like there was like a hint of tango-ish influences. And
we decide to do our music, and the duo's music is inspired by the but South American music, but a lot of classical, modern composers, Russian music.
Oh, yeah.
And Tango Nuevo. It's a mix. And it's very filmic.
Yeah, cinematic.
Cinematic,
yeah.
Yes. We have heard that.
Yeah, it would be perfect as a score for films, so of course.
But we play with tango attitude, if you can say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And of course, as soon as you put accordion and piano together, you're going to get that flavor.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that's what I'm feeling or hearing.
Yes.
You know. How would you describe Tango Nuevo, though? I think I've heard that term before, but I'm not sure.
But before it was in the beginning of the last century, the tango was originally from Argentina, of course. But it was traditional tango. And the Tango Nuevo, like this, it was after Piazzolla.
Piazzolla?
Astor Piazzolla, who started to describe his own music like Tango Nuevo, because it was very different than the traditional tango. He played a lot of years with different traditional tango orchestras and learned everything. But he felt very frustrated because all the people wanted only to dance. And he composed his music and he wanted the people to listen. And change everything.
Made it a bit more free. A bit more avant-garde, maybe.
Yes.
All right.
And so it's why he started to use the word Tango Nuevo. And he was very hated
by the purists.
A lot of people. And loved by
others.
Others.
Of course.
So it was very, how do you say, controversial.
I bet it was. But he learned all the rules so he could break them.
Yes.
So in that sense, he couldn't be, accused of not knowing what he was doing, really. Yeah. So
so we do more new Tango Nuevo. Nuevo Tango Nuevo. Nuevo Tango Nuevo. Yes.
All right. What are some of the challenges of working with symphony orchestras when it comes to your own music? Because, I mean, I guess you got to find an orchestra to work with, and when you have, you've written all your music on as scores, and then that score has to be interpreted by the orchestra and by the conductor and everything like that. How is that collaboration? Can you describe it in a way?
It's very... it's both passionate and I don't feel that it's difficult. But sometimes when you do music, the orchestras used to play more classical music. Mm-hmm. And when you come with new material, you have to describe very, very, very good.
Okay.
Well, how you want the orchestra to play.
Sure. If you can't come with copies of the score, yes. Just give it to them and then they will play exactly what you want.
Because, yes. But you have to talk and describe and try to explain. But in Sweden, for example, the orchestras are very good. So it's not
yes,
so,
they are.
So it's...
And you played with some of the best.
Yes.
I see. So,
so yeah.
What is the challenges for them? Is it like the rhythms and
yes, almost like the rhythm
is
the difficulty for them to understand that.
Because it's more has more swing and maybe more organic in a in a way, and they want to be more classical, know exactly the time signature and stuff like that. So.
And when you mix with a lot of styles, like me, for example, I know maybe this part of the piece is South American joropo from Venezuela style. And if you didn't know how it sounds, it's difficult to understand, of course.
And it's not enough just to write that it's like 6-8 notes or whatever.
No, it's not enough.
No.
No.
So how do you do that? How do you describe that to them?
I am learning to be better and better to do that. But it's more easy when you show and play yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. And this is important and this is important.
Mm. So. And I guess the conductor of the orchestra has to be the one who understands the most what you want.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Mm. And when you... have you recorded stuff with the symphony orchestras? Or has it just been live?
We have plans to do CDs in the future with the duo.
Mm.
So we have not recorded.
Mm. And you will, I guess you will do it in like one take, no overdubs. You will play with the orchestra.
Live
with
better.
The orchestra,
yes.
Then they can follow you in a way.
Yes.
It's going to be nice.
Yes.
I mean, what is that feeling like? I mean, the first time you worked with a symphony orchestra and they played your music.
Yes.
And they played what you wanted them to play.
Yes.
That must have been an amazing feeling just to have that. This is mine.
Yes,
it comes from these 80 plus people.
Yes. It's amazing. I was, I wanted to cry.
Yeah, I bet.
It was so amazing to listen. And it's so intense when you work with an orchestra. It's very hard work. To listen your music played by others is wonderful.
So many people... trying to have your vision, your art be realized.
Mm.
Must be amazing.
Mm.
I guess that's the kind of the feeling if you're a script writer and a movie director and you have a crew of 200 people as well. Everybody here is trying to make my vision come true.
It's, yes.
Nervous, I guess.
Yes, but I feel very confident with it's about my music because I know how I want it.
Yeah, and you know it's good.
Yes.
Mm. So when do you have any doubts or are all the doubts, you know, taken care of from point A to point B when it's time to play and time to give it to other people? Are you always confident in your songs? Like, do you know exactly, I got a song and this is it and this is great?
Yeah, during the process, maybe I have doubts.
Mm.
But not when I decide this is going to be like this.
This is it. All right.
It's like this.
Mm. Mm.
No, I never felt that it was a bad thing I do. I know that I can do better sometimes, but never, it's so horrible. No. I don't do horrible things.
Oh, must be nice.
But I am not perfect, of course. I have a lot to learn because to compose music is life work. Yeah. So it never ends. And you can always be better and better and better and more interesting. And maybe my ideas can be perfect in the future. I don't know. But I feel that I have a lot to give. And I don't think, oh, it's too difficult for me to do. I think I want to, when I really want to do a thing, I learn how to do that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Exactly the same.
Yes.
Yeah, and I want to know it myself. I don't want to ask anybody else either. Like, can you help me do this? Because I don't know how to. Yeah. I learn because I want to be able to do it.
Because I feel that it's important when you are trying to find your own sound to know how. Also, build up everything. But maybe it's, of course, interesting to her by my colleague, of course, or another musician. What do you think? Listen to this. But just tell me what you think, what you are thinking. And it's a communication, collaboration. But my idea is my idea.
Yeah.
And it's really strong.
But do you have a couple of chosen people for that you can trust with their opinions about
your
music?
Yes, of course. But I change my the people, not always the same.
Okay.
Sometimes I want to prove different kinds of opinions and
right.
And not too much.
No. Okay, just a detail here.
Yes,
and there. Yeah. So they don't influence what you do too much. That's probably smart. But do you change people depending on what kind of thing it is, or is it just because it's time to change person?
I change the people because I do a little different kinds of music. So maybe sometimes I want the expertise of a classical composer or a musician, and sometimes I want to hear.
That's the jazz person.
Yes,
yeah.
Just to listen because I do crossover and. Yes, but not too much. I want to have the idea for myself. And when it's ready, to show my idea. So it's almost very complete, but the wonderful thing in arts, you can always change and it's growing up and maybe you are ready with a piece, but the real work starts when you are going to perform, and it starts to change, and the second year is totally different the first year.
If you play a lot of live stuff. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Are you one of those who never play a song the same way twice?
Yes.
All right. Is it frustrating with recorded music then? With albums and stuff that... when it's done, it's done. So you can't change it anymore and you can't play
it. Yeah, it's a little frustrating sometimes. Sometimes you do very good things, but the music, you have to grow inside the music and the for it's it needs the time and it's maybe the wrong order to record first and play after. Maybe you have to play and record.
People do both of them.
Yes.
I think both of them are interesting.
Yes.
Some bands almost write their music in the studio and just play around until something happens in like a Beatles kind of way or something like that. And then you have bands who just went on a tour and the first thing they did when they came off the tour is go and record all the stuff. And that, of course, is going to be a different kind of thing. So, yeah, I guess you got to try both of them and see what happens. So do you have a lot of abandoned song ideas? If you write music for like the album I got in my hand now, the La Industria del Miedo.
Yeah.
Since there are 12 tracks on this album, were there 24 tracks at one point, or is this it?
This is it because the work was before that. I have many ideas and maybe I decide to take some of my ideas, not everything, so work just on on this.
Mm.
So, and it was a work with my brother, Pablo Naranjo.
Mm.
Of course, we talk a lot. And I send the music to him, and he sent the lyrics to me. Mm. And maybe I felt, can you change a little? And maybe he felt, but the music is not really together with the lyrics. And I thank, yeah. So I changed after our conversations, maybe some things. And after, when you are playing, you have an idea and you test it with the musicians, and maybe you decide, no, it was not good idea, so we record another.
okay. Yeah. But tell me more about your brother. So he wrote all the lyrics for this album. But is he a musician in his own right? And does he play instruments as well and compose as well? And
he plays percussion for a lot of time, but he is a lyricist and work with film, with movies.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. He's both director and libretto.
Oh, scriptwriter.
Scriptwriter. And have international career with that.
Okay, I guess I got to have him on as a guest as well. It sounds perfect.
Yes, and he's an artist. So he do a lot of things. But here in this record, La Industria del Miedo, the lyrics are poetry.
Mm.
Very poetical,
yeah,
you can say. And the most of the lyrics are in Spanish, but he writes a lot in English and Swedish too.
Yeah, there's one song in English and one in Swedish, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool to mix it up like that.
Yes.
Keep the audience guessing.
Yeah.
don't you feel comfortable writing lyrics yourself, or is it just what happened this time that you chose to give that?
I have never tried.
You never tried?
No, but maybe in the future I will try. But I don't know.
You speak through your music, through the notes more?
Yes, I speak a lot through music.
Mm.
I am better in express myself through the music, I feel. So, but I can try, maybe, because it's important to say what you want to say, in an easy way, maybe, in the future.
Since you write in that kind of sense and you don't write lyrics yourself, do you connect emotions with different kind of... how do you connect emotions to your music is probably my question. Like, do you feel like, okay, I need an F sharp minor here because that conveys this kind of emotion for me? And is different chord progressions something that tells you something, or you want to makes you tell a story, or is it more just with tempos and stuff like that?
Almost of the time when I write music is a feeling, strong feeling inside me at this moment. Maybe I am sad or happy or worried. When I work with my brother, it was sometimes myself, I just record the music idea or maybe all the song. Oh, you have to write some lyrics for this, and I felt that is inspired by this feeling. So, and we are brother and sister, so he know me and I know him. So it was, I can't say very easy to work, but we know each other, so I understand where his feelings, and he understand my feelings. So, and some lyrics were very easy to find music to. It was, this music for this.
All right.
It was fast.
Mm.
And some lyrics was more, it took more time.
What does this need?
Because he don't work in an easy way either. He's not sort of like, oh no, now is a song coming, it's not like How can I explain?
The lyrics don't come easy for him either.
No, they are come easy for him.
Uh-huh.
So it's not that I am going to want. You can ta bort den för det mm-hmm. blev lite så. He's very free to create his lyrics. He's not always thinking about form.
This kind of
poetry do that, I think, in another way too.
Oh, okay.
When I compose the music, is maybe.
Is it like structurally that
yes.
he won't write like verses aren't the equal amount of lines?
Yes.
In some cases, yeah.
Mm. So the music became alive just mm-hmm. because.
mm-hmm.
So I think it's. This album is a very interesting mix of everything, because it was the debut album for me composing all the music, and I wanted to just do it.
Mm.
And it's very different kinds of songs, and so you have to listen a little.
My Spanish is very rudimentary, then I don't, you know, I'm not going to understand a lot of the lyrics. But what are the themes on the songs very different from song to song, or is there like an overlaying theme for the whole album?
It's a mix of existential songs.
Mm.
And very... cinematic too, mm-hmm, visual. Mm-hmm, you can see a lot of images. Sometimes philosophical, and about life, and not always the happy side of the life.
Mm. But
it's very beautiful poetry, and it's very playful.
Yeah.
And I think that the music and the lyrics are very so.
Playing with each other.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Playing off each other.
Yes.
That's heavy. Those are some heavy themes.
Yes.
It's not just your simple love songs or whatever.
No.
That's great, because I think we need more of that.
Yes.
So how... I'm going to get back to how do you do this, because of all these... all these awards, all these scholarships and things like that, I guess a lot of your time must go to writing applications and things for scholarships and things like that. And
yeah, it's a big office work, but the most important is that it's a big artistic work. You can do the office work if you don't have the ideas. And so I don't like so much this part
of course.
Writing and explaining what you are doing all the time.
None of us creative people do.
You know, I like very much the other side of trying to find the expression and what I want to say to the people, and through the music is more funny, I think.
But a lot of this recognition, does it just come from being seen and heard, and they see you and they hear you and they find you automatically? Or how much of that process is you more or less like knocking on doors to say, hey, here I am?
It's a mix a little, because sometimes the people find you and sometimes you have to knock doors too when you have new ideas. And I have talked with a lot of artists and they have big careers, and nobody say that this knocking stops.
No.
Not ever.
No, right.
So I feel that it's densida. It's a side. No, it's
it's a facet or
yes.
whatever. Yeah,
you have to do that for work in the future.
It's just a part of the gig.
Yes.
But do you find that there has to be some level of one thing leading to another as well, I guess?
Like yes.
If the ball starts rolling, it's going to be leading to other things.
Yes. So when I do a work, so always it's coming something new. You have to learn how to think a little strategic. what do you want to do in the future? And maybe you decide some things, and not always is easy to. Maybe you take bad decisions sometimes in your artistic life.
Yeah. If you, I've done most of them. Yeah,
but but I decide, for example, to don't do popular music. If you can say, popular music is. The music you listen on the radio time.
Whatever is on the top of the charts. Yeah.
I want to do another kind of music, more deep. I feel better. And I think that I can give much more.
Yeah.
So
since that's what you want to do. Otherwise, you would just do it like half-assed. but I guess like you do a show and then maybe a newspaper writes a piece about you. And then maybe that makes somebody on some kind of board of directors see that, hey, this seems like a valid musician, and maybe we should give that scholarship to her. And then somebody else is going to see, hey, she got to come play here at our place.
Yes. And sometimes I choose to play in their place, and sometimes you have to choose, maybe not there because it's not the right for my music or for everything.
You have the luxury to be picky at this stage in your career probably as well, since the opportunities may present themselves a bit more.
Yes.
I hope you appreciate that luxury.
Yes, I appreciate. I am very happy. And I have my goals. So I want to continue with my compositions and work more and more composing. And it's different kind of works to make, compose music and play. I like to mix both. But in the future, maybe I want to compose music for movies or theater, and in a period, just play and play and play and give concerts. So I say I like this work because you never know what's going to happen.
Mm.
And almost is good news.
Yeah. So. I saw you play live just last week.
Mm.
Where you played with Arja Saijonmaa, which is a Finnish-Swedish singer who's been known in Sweden for many, many, many years.
Mm.
He's somebody I remember since my childhood,
mm.
even. And where she became famous with the songs she played.
Yes.
So I heard some of these songs when I was a kid that you
yes.
played the other day.
Mm.
And those are like Swedish versions of songs by Violeta Parra.
Yes.
Tell me about her.
She is a folk singer, artist, composer from Chile.
Mm.
And she was active. She worked a lot in the 50s and 60s,
mm.
Last century.
Yeah.
She was a great woman. She was a really artist. She started to play with her sister different kinds of Latin American songs.
Mm.
But decided very early that she has to find the folk music from Chile.
Mm.
So she started to travel all over the country
mm-hmm.
and talk with the poor people.
Oh, yeah, poor farmers.
Poor farmers.
Yeah, yeah.
And she recorded their songs.
Mm.
And they sang a lot of traditional, very old Chilean songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to sing these songs and record it. So she was invited to do a radio program
mm-hmm.
And became very popular because she started to sing the Chilean forgotten songs and start to record after her songs
mm.
And very strong lyrics and very Chilean. But at this time, the Chilean folk music was very about the beauty of Chile
mm.
and very uninterested, interesting things. And she started to show and talk about the people of
mm-hmm,
Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And the struggles of the people
yeah.
and the traditions
mm-hmm.
more deeper than
started to become
every.
Political.
Yes.
Mm.
And it wasn't easy for her because she was not interested in be a beautiful singer
mm.
and
an
empty
no.
singer. She wanted to say something. And not all the people of Chile liked her because
mm-hmm.
she was very dramatic and talk about difficult things
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
sorrow and passion and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yeah, yeah, she started to ruffle
yes.
some feathers.
Yes.
Like,
She traveled to Europe. She became known in Europe. In playing in different festivals, and she lived
mm-hmm.
in Paris
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
years, and in Schweiz, Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland, yeah.
In Paris, she was a complete artist because she did visual works.
Yeah, she had exhibitions at the Louvre
yes.
In Paris and everything.
Yes,
yeah, which is of course a great honor. It's,
yes.
you can't get any bigger than that when
no.
it comes to the art world.
Yes. For example, and she was a woman with a lot of feelings and became very, she was very lonely in the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to tell the story because she was in love in a Swiss
man?
Swiss man who came to Chile
mm.
and he heard about her.
Mm.
And came to Santiago. At this time, it was not many tourists
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and tried to find her. And he and she became in love.
Mm.
And he stayed many years and started to play with her at her tours in Chile and international tours too. But he left her and she died very lonely.
That's sad.
Yes, it was a very sad story.
Such a story that starts so... like classically romantic, he just hears about her, travels around the world, halfway around the world almost, and finds her, and it works.
Yes,
he just decides to, but then leaves. That feels like a story that would be like, and they lived happily ever after. Yes. But no,
no.
Mm.
For us in Chile, Violeta Parra now is like a icon.
Yeah, icon, almost a saint.
Yes, but maybe, she wasn't an icon.
No.
When she lived.
Well, that's the old curse.
Yes, really. Yes.
They will appreciate you when you die.
Yes. And her songs have been sung by Joan Baez and Peter Seeger all over the world.
Mm.
Ya vil taka livet, gracias a la vida.
Mm.
I don't know the wording.
I want to thank life.
Mm. Yes. It's a very, very known song.
Mm. And it's the most known one that Arya Saijonmaa has sung, the Swedish version of. How did that collaboration start? How did you get to work with Arya on this project?
I had this idea for many years, and it took a lot of time. But I wanted to do something with the Violeta Parra songs.
Mm.
And of course, when I thought about Violeta Parra, so in Sweden, I thought about Arya Saijonmaa. Because when I came to Sweden, when I was 17 years old, I tried to find my music from my home country.
Mm. And you found her.
And I found Arya Saijonmaa and Violeta Parra in Swedish.
Mm, mm.
And it was wonderful because I didn't know that it was possible.
No, of course.
So,
it's a bit of a fluke.
So when I decide to do this concert, I wrote to her about why I wanted to do this and with her.
Mm, mm.
So she was very happy to collaborate with me.
Mm. Had she been singing those songs for years, or was it a long time ago? Because I haven't like seen her in a long time myself. So
yeah, she has been on TV all the time, but singing maybe just the known song.
Most known
song. Jag vill tacka livet. It was not easy for her to find their musicians to do the other songs because they are very Chilean.
And you had a Chilean musician fly here for this as well.
Yes.
And advanced.
Yes.
Advanced. And you yourself, you've been back a lot to Chile and you played there. And
yes, I played for the president of Chile here in Sweden for 2 years ago, Michelle Bachelet. And I was invited to travel to Chile and play at the National Congress.
Mm.
So I have been there and touring.
Yeah.
I want to come back.
Yeah, of course. How does that feel to do a homecoming like that? Like leave Chile as a 17-year-old and knowing how to play music but not be very known, and then return by invitation from... The powers that be, basically. Yes. It must be really weird.
It was a strong feeling to do that. And I felt very happy because the lyrics of La Industria del Miedo, my album with my brother, were really interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked a lot about our album. It was a very good travel and... I hope to come back soon with my new material.
The country must feel a bit more welcoming for you now these days. But how did they find you to play for the Chilean president when he was here? Was that like a, obviously we have to have Tanya do that? Yeah. Or
maybe, because I have done a lot of work here in Sweden for many years. So I am not unknown for the Chileans.
No.
I have played always for the... ambassador.
You're the token Chilean musician in Sweden or something.
I am not the only one, but I am good musician, and I always trying to do something about Chile. And I always maybe playing Chilean composers or my own music. I am from Chile. And the mix, I don't want to play only for Swedish, for Sweden, but not only for Chileans. I try always to mix and take the Chileans from the organizations in Rinkeby or Rosengård, and try to
projects, do
Chilean music in important scenes, so the Swedish public can listen to new music or old music,
as it may be.
They already know, and the Chileans can listen to and see in other places in Sweden.
So what's going on now? What do you got going? Are you touring with the Area Sayonma Viola Tapara project?
Not just now, maybe next year again. In Finland, we hope so.
Oh, in Finland?
Yes.
Okay.
But just now, I am going to work with the duo, with my colleague Minna Veurlander.
And record a new album, you said?
Not now. We are working with the concerts, but new projects for the next year. And it's album recordings. We are planning that. And we are going to travel to Lithuania. And play with the string quartet, and next year with orchestra, symphony orchestra.
Also in Lithuania?
Yes, and Lithuania and Sweden we are planning to do concerts. And we are collaborating with a duo, Maleus Incus, percussion duo from Sweden. Composer Tobias Broström will... compose for us and this duo. And I am going to work with a theater piece in Gothenburg as a musician and actor.
As an actor?
Maybe a little.
Oh, really?
In a piece of Molière.
Okay.
So, and everything is 2019.
Okay.
And I am planning a new recording with songs by myself.
Wow. So that's a lot.
I have a lot to do.
A lot on your plate.
Yes.
And it must be so nice to have something to, you know what you're going to do for the whole next year.
Yes.
Everything is like planned out and creatively. And but what's happening the rest of this year? You have some gigs?
Yeah, we have a gigs with the duo. The 21st of July here in Österlen.
In Scania,
Sharing Veckan with Lina Nyberg. We are going to play our music with the duo and after concerts during the autumn and planning, a lot of planning for the new.
Yeah.
We have another project for November, and we are hoping that this project is going to work.
Another little
project.
For
November.
Okay.
Yes, and going on. But it's a lot. And I have to write and compose and arrange, do arrangements for my music. And so I'm going to lead a piano festival in May next year too. Here in Ystad. Ystad's Theater. So... If I have time, I
you don't.
I'm going to try to travel to Chile and do something,
right, okay.
But I don't know if it's possible.
No, I can't. I can't see how that would be possible with all that you just listed. But yeah, let's hope you can.
Yeah.
Because of course, how often do you get to go back to Chile?
Not so often.
No.
Because I have so many work to do here.
Mm. Not as much as you would like.
No.
I'd like to. Oh. Of course. How can we find you when we go online and stuff like that?
Yes.
You have Twitter?
Yes, I have Twitter.
You're at Tania Naranjo G on Twitter.
And my homepage.
Yes.
TaniaNaranjo.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the duo has its own website as well.
Yes.
Duo Naranja Veerlander with a W. .wordpress.com. And did you have Instagram?
Yes, I have Instagram too.
And
it's Tania Naranjo, I think.
Sometimes you can't remember.
Tania Naranjo Music.
Ah,
yeah, Tania Naranjo Music.
So go there and keep yourself updated on everything that Tania is doing, which is obviously, as you heard, a lot. And let's close with playing another song. And thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
No problem.
I am very happy to be here and talk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Ciao.
Thank you. in your hat. The graveyards are awakened still. The black moons are evoking dreams. The boats are flying low. Oh, that silver glows. The waters are dry high above. The earth is drying fast below. And still I wait for you to be with me. The graveyards are awakened still. The black moons are evoking. The boats are flying low. Oh, see that silver glows. The waters are dry high above. The earth is drying fast below. And still I wait for you to be with me when the last boat does flow.
Okay, yeah, that was it for the spring-summer season of Inglourious Artists, and I will be back with new episodes in the fall, and we are planning to do a special episode during the summer. Let's see if that comes to pass. You will notice if you follow us on social media and stuff like that. But until then, just keep having a nice summer. See ya. Bye.